before the break that I had, and we were looking at the Old Testament, and I want to start something new tonight. We came to a suitable conclusion in that study, and you know, I was just praying while we were in the UK about just some of the things I should share. And this one word came to me. I didn't really know how to tackle it or exactly what to teach from it. And then I started to put together some thoughts and some notes. And then I was pleased to be in the service this morning because Pastor Vince confirmed that word. And actually, I thought he was going to pinch a lot of what I'm going to say tonight. But I want to start a topic looking at walking in wisdom. And before we go into the Old Testament, because a lot of the scriptures we're going to look at over the course of these studies that I do will be in the Old Testament. I want us to go to the New Testament. We're going to spend some time in the New. In the book of Ephesians. And come to Ephesians chapter 5. And I can see in my Bible that I don't use this for preparation of my studies. I use another one. And this Bible's divided into little segments. And I see that the subtitle on this reading we're going to read now is called Walking Wisdom. I didn't know that when I was preparing it. But we're going to read from verse 15. And we'll read to the end of 17, just the three verses. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. There are just three short verses there. And in those three short verses, we have several instructions which are very relevant to us today. I just want to break down these three verses and just do a little bit of teaching from this. You know, Paul, now you've got to remember, when I say Paul begins, you've got to remember, when Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesian church, he didn't write it with chapter numbers and verse numbers. So when I say he began in verse 15, he didn't begin in verse 15, he began in verse 1 of chapter 1. This is his letter to the Ephesians. But this thought here, which we know as Ephesians 5:15, it begins like this. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Now there's a word there which, you know, we don't often use in English. Now I also want to just look at this word for a few minutes. Circumspectly. This means that we should walk accurately. In other words, we walk straight. That we don't wander to the left and to the right. Another meaning of this word is the word careful. That our walk, we carefully walk. We carefully watch where we're going. That we're diligent in our walk. That we have a walk that's purposeful. You know, this is this word circumspect. So when Paul's writing, he says, see that you walk circumspectly. He's saying that make sure that we're walking straight. We're walking with purpose. We're walking diligently and carefully. You know, we are to watch where we're going so that we don't stumble. You know, actually, our walk with God is a key theme in this book in Ephesians. And six times, and this is the last of these six times, the Apostle Paul uses this phrase, walk with something else. In Ephesians 2:10, he tells us to that God has prepared good works for us, that we should walk in them. We should walk in the good things that God has prepared for us. In Ephesians 4:1, he tells us to walk worthy. In the same chapter, verse 17, we're not to walk as the Gentiles walk. You know, we are to, you know, have a different walk to the rest of the world. In this chapter, verse 2, this chapter, verse 2, we're told to walk in love. Again, in verse 8, he says we should walk as children of the light. And then in verse 15, that we walk circumspectly. So he uses this idea of our Christian walk, and he develops this theme. One translation I do like, and I want to read this to you because this says it all, is the Amplified translation. And it says this, it says, look carefully, then, how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately. Look carefully how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately. You know, we must walk with purpose and diligence. But he goes on in this verse and he says that not as fools, but as wise. You know, this walking circumspectly or accurately or diligently, however you want to describe it, is the action of wise people. You know, the foolish people just aimlessly drift along, just hoping everything's going to be okay, and, you know, either they run off to the left or run off to the right, and they don't look where they're going. And actually, in fact, I meet quite a few of these people. And actually, I describe them as foolish people because they're completely unaware of what's going on around them. And I meet these quite a lot, like many of you that are here. I spend a lot of time walking. I walk along the promenade. And if there's one type of person that really frustrates me, it's those that are walking along. They've got their mobile phone in their hand, and they're staring at this phone. They're completely oblivious to who's around them, the traffic that's on the road. You know, and they just, and you can see them as they're coming towards you. You know, they're either pressing buttons, typing a message, or, you know, you can see them scrolling through their Facebook or whatever it is. They're reading or their emails, and, you know, they're heading straight for you. And who's the one who has to move out of the way? Normally it's me. I have to step aside and let them pass. Or they step into the road and somebody's on the horn. And you know, these types of people are not walking wisely. They are like the fool. They're not walking circumspectly. They're not accurate. They're not straight. Actually, in fact, Jesus taught a parable. Come with me. Put a marker in Ephesians 5. We're going to come back to it. Come with me to the book of Luke, chapter 9. Now, I might be taking this slightly out of context, but it's just to illustrate a point, what I'm saying. In Luke 9, verse 62, Jesus was teaching his disciples this, not really a parable, but he said this in verse 62 of chapter 9. He said to them, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Nobody having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Why did Jesus say this? You know, he's saying here, he says, if you don't watch where you're walking, you're not going to be any use to the kingdom. Have you ever tried walking in a straight line and looking behind you? If you do it, then, well, you must be a very special person. If you want to walk in a straight line, I'm not talking about a dead straight line. You've got to keep your eyes on where you're going. If you look to the left, it's your left, my right, the left or the right, or you look behind you, you're going to veer off course. And Jesus was showing this, teaching this. He said, any farmer who hires a hand to plow his fields, if that person that he hires is going to continually look behind him, he's not going to get straight furrows in his field. He's not going to plow the land straight. So he says he's going to be completely useless to the farmer. And that's really what he was saying here. If we put our hand to the plow, now he was talking about the cost of discipleship. He was talking about actually coming into the kingdom of God and then looking back to where we came from. He said, but if you want to walk straight, don't look back. Now that looking back has always been a bad thing. Remember Lot's wife. They were told to go straight to the mountains. And it wasn't long out of the city, she turned around to see what was happening and she was turned into the pillar of salt. And if we're going to be useful for the kingdom of God, we need to walk straight. We need to walk accurately. We need to walk with diligence. Don't be as the fools, but be wise. You know, Paul continued in Ephesians. And this is really what I want to focus on tonight. He says in verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now we know this word, redeem. We sing about this act, this redemption. It's in our blood as born again people of God. Because this word redeem means to buy back, to ransom, or to rescue from loss. And we know, we say these words, we say we've been redeemed. What we mean is we've been bought with a price. We've just been singing it and bought with the precious blood of Christ. We've been bought. We've been redeemed. We've been rescued from being lost. Thank God. We've been redeemed. We were slaves to sin and the devil. We were held in captivity. But now, the ransom has been paid. And we've been redeemed. You know, this word which we know so well. But when Paul uses it here, he's talking about redeeming the time. And the thought here is that we rescue or recover our time. Really from being wasted and being used not to the best advantage. But that we use our time, we use every opportunity to improve the time we have and use it for greater things, for God's glory. Now I was reading an article a couple of days ago by John Piper. And he was saying in this article about, he was talking about reading books. Now I thought about that. I've got quite a few books. I don't read as much as I should do, or I would like to. And normally it's a time issue for me. And John Piper was saying in this article, he's saying that, you know, if we set aside, now he was talking personally for him, said if he could set aside just 15 minutes to read a book, and he worked it out, if he spent 15 minutes a day and he worked out how many hours that would be over the course of a month, and then over the course of the year, and then he worked out how many pages he roughly could read in 15 minutes, and he actually worked out that he could read 15 minutes a day, 20 books in 1 year. You know, I began to think, well, if I could do something for just 15 minutes a day, now, whether it's reading or whatever it is, whether it's we put it into improving our walk with God, whether we do it with serving God, attending to God's word, praying, if we could just put 15 minutes a day in, how much more we would have redeemed that time. How much more beneficial would we be to the kingdom of God. And our lives would be better for it as well. You know, let me just give you some other translations of this statement, redeeming the time. Again, I'll start with the Amplified translation because that's one that I like. In the Amplified it says this, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity. If any of you are using the NIV, the NIV says this, it says, making the most of every opportunity. Making the most of every opportunity. But I really like Philip's translation on this verse. Because he says it like this. He says, make the best use of your time. Make the best use of your time. There's a... Did you have it in Maltese?
Redeeming the time?
Yeah. Because, if I'm not mistaken, I think in the Maltese it says something like conquer, or...
Quest.
No, not quite conquer, it's something like...
Ozo, we say.
Have a look at this verse. Because I think it's on the idea of something like, if I'm not mistaken, winning or being victorious over time, taking charge of it. And I think that's a really good, if my translation is correct. Ephesians 5:16. We should make the best use of our time. You know, make the most of every opportunity when it comes to the things. Now, how many things take up our time? You know, in the last 15 years, the biggest thing that's taken up all my time is the computer. You know, you sit down in front of the computer and, you know, hours just flow away. Have you got it there?
Means you win.
You win. To conquer time. You know, that's what we need to do as the people of God. We need to conquer our time and make it count.
Conquer and win, it means. Uh-huh. I mean, you conquer and it must be a win.
A win.
You win. You get the prize.
Uh-huh.
You conquer and you get the prize. Terba means you win.
you win.
Yeah, to run the time. That's a game for you, and that's what it means.
That's what I thought. It's
means what you do if you're gonna you're gonna gain. It's a profit for you.
So if we can redeem that time, it's beneficial to us. And not only us, to the kingdom of God. Come with me to the book of Daniel. Because we have a similar statement made in the book of Daniel. Chapter 2. And this is a phrase that many of us will be familiar with. And it's verse 8. Daniel 2, verse 8. The king answered and said, I know for certain that you would gain time because you see that my decision is firm. I know for certain that you would gain time because you see that my decision is firm. The Chaldee word used here and translated as gain in my translation literally means buy. And the king says, I see that you want to buy time. And that's a phrase we use when we want to squeeze a little more time or prevent something from happening. Or put off something from happening. We ask that we might buy some time, or you know, I'm just trying to think of an example now. Now, of course, you don't do this because you're all honest and upright. But if you received a utility bill in the post, and you know, you might, there's a problem with, let's say there's a problem with one, you might do this. There's a problem with the bill, it's too high. What you will do is, you will read your meter, you will telephone the utility company, you'll tell them, look, I think there's a problem with my bill, I think you've overestimated the bill, and I want to give you a reading. You know, this is where it's a little bit, perhaps a little dishonest. You might wait right up until the last day before the payment. And actually, leaving it that long, you're trying to buy yourself a little bit of time because you know you haven't got the money to pay. And you think, well, if I can wait until my next payday or my next paycheck, then I'll have the money and I can settle the bill. So you push. You do it on the last day, the day before it's due, you say, look, there's a problem. They say, well, don't worry. We'll send you out a new bill, a revised bill. And you know that's going to take a week to get to you, so you work it out. Okay, by then I should have the money to pay for it. Now, a little dishonest, but it's buy in some time. And that's what we do very often. We buy time in order to help ourselves out in a situation or to put off something from happening. So how much time, now this is coming away from wisdom for a little bit, but this is building a foundation for what we're going to look at. How much time do we actually waste? I'm not asking you to tell me. But just think about it. How much time do you waste? How much time do you spend doing things which have little or no eternal value? Now, can we squeeze? Or can we buy some time? Into our prayer life, a little bit more time. Can we squeeze a little bit more? Can we do an extra 5 minutes a day? Can we read an extra few verses in our daily readings and our study of the Word of God? Are there things that we can do? I'm sure there is. I'm sure there's plenty that we can do. Like I was saying with the illustration with John Piper, you know, even if we just set aside, we say, well, I'm going to be determined that I'm going to give another 5 minutes, another 10 minutes, another 15 minutes a day. You know, how much more will we benefit from that? Walking wisely. Walking circumspectly. Now, here's a thought. You only redeem something that is precious and valuable. Now, you were redeemed because you are precious and valuable to God. If you weren't precious and you weren't valuable to God, then maybe God would never have sent Jesus. But because you were special, because you were precious, because you were valuable to Him, He emptied heaven to get you, to redeem you, to buy you back, to ransom you from the enemy's clutches. Again, Jesus taught a parable of a man. Let's go there in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 13. And it's just a short parable. It's verse 44. Daniel 2 verse 8. Now here in this parable that Jesus taught, he talks of a man who buys a field or redeems a field in order to gain valuable treasure that it contained. It says here, verse 44, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. You know, that field, because he knew what it contained, what was hidden in it, was valuable to him, was precious to him. So it said he sold everything he had in order that he might, and I'm going to use this word, redeem that field. Now, I said, you only redeem something that is precious and valuable. And time is valuable. Now, I know we often say, well, we haven't got a lot of time, we haven't got enough time. We've all got the same time. Every single one of us has the same number of minutes a day. It's how we choose to spend that time. Why should we redeem our time? Why should we walk circumspectly? Why should we be like the wise? Well, Paul went on and he said, because the days are evil. The reason we need to ensure that we walk circumspectly and to redeem the time is because the days are evil. Now, the good news is, Jesus is coming again soon. And the more, as you look around, and I'm sure you'll agree, that the days are getting, the time is getting worse and worse, or, you know, the days are getting worse and worse. You know, as you look in Bible prophecy, and you look at what the scriptures say, you know, you can't help but say, yes, the time of the Lord's coming is getting shorter and shorter. He's coming very soon. Now the question is, what will he find his children doing when he comes? Because again, in Matthew's Gospel, we have a parable in Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verses 45 to the end of the chapter, verse 51. Well, I say a parable, it's an illustration. Jesus is talking, he says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if the evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now here Jesus asks a question. He says, you know, the man is blessed if he's doing what his master wants him to do. Now if we are, we're not redeeming that time, we're just allowing time to drift and go from us. We are being unwise. You know, look at the words that Jesus uses here in verse 45. It says, who then is a faithful and wise servant? A faithful and wise servant. The one who's doing what his master wants him to do. There's a similar passage in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. Luke 12, verse 35. He says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. You know what? It's good to be about Father's business. Redeeming our time. You know, there are many things now that will distract us and divert us. There are many things that will jostle for our time. Now, they're not always wrong things. No, there's nothing wrong with some of these things at all. Actually, some of these things are right, but we put a lot of emphasis on them. You know, and I believe that the enemy will give us distractions in order to keep us occupied. Now, I said to you, the computer, I've never known time to go so quickly as when I'm sitting in front of the computer screen. And it, for some reason, I don't know why it is, but you just seem to get lost in this space. There was a time a few years ago when I was so convicted of spending so much time actually playing one of these online games that I cut it off. And actually, you find now I don't play any of these online games. Why? Because I was convicted. Why? Because it was taking up time. Well, actually, when I looked at my timetable, actually, this was hours and hours devoted to just doing this activity, which was unprofitable for me, unprofitable for the kingdom of God, and unprofitable really for the family as well. You know, it was totally unprofitable. Now, I'm not saying that there's wrong. I like to have a little bit of recreation. I like to do a puzzle. You know, I will sit and do some puzzles on the computer or on the tablet, a crossword puzzle, I'll do that. It's not wrong to do that. It's not wrong to have that free time, but we've got to make sure that we are not overcome with it. We're not distracted by it. It doesn't divert us away from what we should really be doing. That's why this scripture says we should redeem the time. Now, if other things are occupying our time, the enemy knows we won't be about our rightful business, which is serving God, doing what we can to win the lost, praying, studying, sharing our testimony and the good news, coming to church. You know, I was once confronted by a person and they said, well, I don't know quite how he got into this, but he says, I can't really afford the time, I can't really find the time, I've got the time to come to church. I don't have the time not to come. I've been like that all my life, ever since I was down here. I probably told you this before, you know, I got really upset with my father once. Now, I was only maybe 9. Maybe a little older than 9. I might have been 12. But I got really upset with him, almost to the point of getting angry with him. Why? Because he wouldn't take me to the Bible study. Most children I know, that would be great. I don't want to go to the Bible study. I don't want to go to church. Not on a Wednesday night. So, but I was different. And I've always been like that. But I haven't got the time. And this used to really annoy me. Well, he didn't approach me. But this, he used to come up with his excuses. Well, I won't be at the service tonight because I didn't get home from... Bear in mind that the service started at 7:30. I won't be at the service not because I didn't get home from work till 5:00. I was at that service. I didn't get home from work till 7:00. And that's the way I was. So those type of... That's not really the attitude a pastor should have, I suppose. I did it. Why can't you? You know, I skipped a meal to get to the house of God. Now, I'm not asking you to skip a meal, but that was my decision. But you can be at the house of God. You can be in church. You can read your Bible. You can pray. You can do all these things. Why? It's just about redeeming the time. Making each day count. Let's go to the book of Colossians, because there's another scripture here, another phrase. This phrase comes up again in the book of Colossians, chapter 4. Colossians, chapter 4, verse 5. And here, again, the Apostle Paul writing to the church. Colossians, chapter 4, verse 5. Here we have, we've already seen it in Ephesians, you know, that we're not to be unwise, but we are to be wise. And he talks about walking circumspectly and redeeming the time. But here we have the word, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom to those that are outside, redeeming the time. Again, let me read that to you in the Amplified Translation. It says, behave yourselves wisely, living prudently and with discretion in your relations with those of the outside world. The non-Christians, making the very most of the time and seizing and buying up the opportunity. Now walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. make the most of every opportunity. Why? We've said the time is getting short. The days are evil. We need to be about our task of going into the world and preaching the gospel, preaching the good news, winning men and women to the Lord. Now we will go on and actually look a little more at wisdom and what it means to walk in wisdom and what wisdom is in the subsequent lessons. But if we can go back to Ephesians. I've got two more scriptures I want to share with you before I finish tonight. Back to Ephesians chapter 5. Because we've read, see then you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Look at this next verse, verse 17. It says, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now the implication of that verse is this. That wisdom understands the will of God. Amen. The wise person understands what God's will is. Because if he says, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. If you're unwise, you don't understand. So therefore, if you are wise, you must understand what the will of the Lord is. Or you can begin to understand as you apply wisdom. Now, I'll put a note down here in my thing. I got this from Albert Barnes, his commentary on this verse. He says, don't be fools in the use of your time and in your manner of life. Show true wisdom by endeavoring to understand what the will of the Lord is, and then doing it. What is wisdom? Well, the scripture talks about a lot of things that way, but here is a definition of wisdom. It's the ability to judge and act upon God's principles or God's word. The ability to judge and act upon God's word. That's wisdom. That we judge it and we act upon it. Now, there are other things the scripture says about wisdom which we will go into. But we're going to finish with one more verse tonight. And again, it's in line with what we've been looking at, redeeming the time. Come with me to the Psalms. We're going to go to Psalm 90. And verse 12. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. How do we gain this heart of wisdom? I believe what this scripture here in the Psalm says exactly what Paul said. It's redeeming our time. It's not about saying, well, we've got so many days on earth. I don't think so. I may be wrong, but I don't think so. Because how many days do we have? Can we number our days? Can we say, well, we've got X number of days to live? No. We might hope for a good number. But teach us to number our days. In other words, teach us to redeem our time, so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We make every day count for God's kingdom. Every day count for the purpose of God. I want to read this verse, or certainly the first part of this verse. Teach us to number our days. In just a couple of translations. Because if we do what the scripture says, it will give us a heart of wisdom. Most translations actually say that, teach us to number our days. But there are a few I found which just say it slightly different. The contemporary English version, the CEV, says this, teach us to use wisely all the time we have. Teach us to use wisely all the time we have. The New Living Translation says it like this. Teach us to make the most of our time so that we may grow in wisdom. The New English Bible, and this is not a translation I often read from, but this verse here says this. It says, teach us to order our days rightly that we may enter the gate of wisdom. And finally, the International Standard Version says this, teach us to keep account of our days so we may develop inner wisdom. You know, redeem the time. Redeeming the time. Counting our days so that we might gain that heart of wisdom. And as we will see as we develop and go on with this, we're going to go to the Proverbs and look at what the Proverbs say about wisdom. But I'll read to you just as a taste, an appetizer for the next time. From Proverbs, chapter 4. Proverbs 4, verse 4. He also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Can I share something about this one? You know, when I was preparing this, and one of my